Community First Bank is your bank for business. Their business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. Visit Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Community First Bank. On Friday, January 19th, from 6:30 until 8:30, Merrimack Community School will be hosting their Celebrate Winter event. Great chance to eat some food and have some fun with family and friends. Bring a dish to pass and your favorite board game. No alcohol is allowed at this event. It's sponsored by the Merrimack Snowbusters, and they also have a 50-50 cash raffle with the proceeds going to Merrimack Home and School Association. Again, this is Friday, January 19th, from 6:30 until 8:30 at Merrimack Community School. And you still have time to get signed up for the 5th annual Baraboo FFA Alumni and Supporters Raffle. This year, the prizes will be 10 different meat bundles, ranging in values from $50 to $275. And the grand prize is a Blackstone Grill package, valued at $375. It's $5 per ticket or $20 for 5 tickets. You can reach out to Baraboo FFA Alumni and Supporters on Facebook or contact any executive board members to purchase tickets. Again, this is the 5th annual Baraboo FFA Alumni and Supporters Raffle. Selling will end on February 17th, and the drawing will be held at the Baraboo FFA Flapjacks for Farmers Breakfast held at Baraboo High School.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There are more than 110,000 power outages across Oregon as a result of an ice storm. While the Northeast is bracing for more snow, ABC's Ariel Reschef in Philadelphia says this winter blast is impacting everyone.
Tens of millions in the path of a bitter blast of frigid weather as snow bears down on swaths of the country. The relentless weather creating treacherous road conditions. At least 45 weather-related deaths are reported from coast to coast.
The House Armed Services Committee wants Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to publicly testify next month after he did not reveal that he had been hospitalized for cancer treatment. The Biden administration's approved nearly $5 billion in student debt relief for 74,000 borrowers, saying almost 44,000 are teachers, firefighters, nurses, and public servants. And there will not be a government shutdown today. Congress approved a measure to keep the government funded into March. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
A fire that happened early Wednesday morning destroyed a barn and killed a calf when it broke out on a farm outside of Mauston. According to the Linden Station Fire Department, crews arrived to find smoke and fire showing from the barn. Firefighters called in help from the Mauston Fire Department. Crews had the fire under control in about an hour. One calf died in the fire. Firefighters say the other cows were moved to the other farms so they could be milked. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Two people survived a house fire in Lafayette County early Wednesday morning. According to the Lafayette County Sheriff's Office, the fire broke out at a home on County Q in the town of New Diggins. At the time of the fire, two people were home. Those people safely got out. No injuries were reported. The house, though, is considered a total loss. The cause of that fire also remains under investigation. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
Mostly cloudy today. We may see a few off and on flurries at times through the day, and it's going to be cold too with a high of only 7 above the wind chill. Single digits to teens below zero here for most of the day. Tonight, clear, 5 below. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 13. We are going to warm it up. We're talking highs in the 30s for most of next week. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above. 99.7.
It's 8:04 right now, and definitely a chilly start to the day. Going to probably still need that heavy coat, at least for a couple more days. And then, of course, you heard Sean, 30s next week. We love that. We were talking about Billy Ocean celebrating a birthday today, born Leslie Sebastian Charles. He is 74 years old, and I had to pull out some Billy Ocean to celebrate. Had to go deep into the library and pull out something we don't play very often. From 1984, this is Loverboy on 99.7 Max FM.
90s, and more.
Call me, babe. Always something there to
Devil Inside, there is in excess. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It's 12 minutes after 8 right now. And Fit, I went into a deep dive on Billy Ocean there for a second. I had no idea he'd been married to his wife since 1978. They actually met when they were 15 years old. He called her the love of his life then. They got married young, and they've been together ever since. So that's pretty darn cool. I learned something today.
It was nice to hear a Billy Ocean song that, you know, I mean, as much as I love Caribbean Queen,
right? Everybody
get
plays that
out
one
of my dreams. Yeah, it was nice to hear something.
I had to pull something different out.
Actually, hearing the In Excess song it always takes me back, because one of the early bands that I was in, mm-hmm. So this was back in the day when bands made demo tapes, right?
Sure. Yes.
Do bands still do that? I'm sure they do.
But I think they put it on the interwebs now.
Exactly. It's much easier now. But we went to Smart Studios in Madison, which was Butch Vig's place, where he recorded Nirvana's Nevermind album and the Smashing Pumpkins. And this was back in the day.
Sure.
And right around the same time that these bands were recording there. But Smart Studios, it wasn't just open to the big guys. I mean, that you could buy, you could get studio time.
Enough money. Everybody can buy some studio time.
Exactly. And so we went in to record a demo tape, and In Excess, The Devil Inside, was one of the songs that covered.
That's a great song. It's a good one. Yeah. I love In Excess, and we've talked about that. It was they were a great band, and then, of course, they lost their lead singer. They tried to replace their lead singer, and that didn't go well, so we haven't heard anything from them since.
Have you ever watched the documentary on Michael Hutchence?
I have not.
I can't make it through the whole thing. It's just too depressing.
He had a lot of demons that he had to battle in this world, and it's unfortunate, you know. And Dexter and I were just having that conversation the other day, because we all know his fascination with Nirvana and Kurt Cobain at this point. And he said to me, he goes, how many other artists out there struggle just like Kurt Cobain did, but they make music and people think they're being an angsty artist, when he's like, in actuality, they're actually laying it all on the line for us to enjoy through music, you know. And he's like, we just think that they're, you know, making music. He goes, but this is their life story. He said, for a lot of them, it is. And he's like, it's the same thing that happened with Kurt Cobain. He's like, every song that he wrote was basically, he goes, to me, it felt like a cry for help, or this is what I need to have happen, or I'm looking for some. And he goes, how many other artists do that? And I felt like Michael Hutchence was kind of in the same boat, honestly. Wow. But Dexter, very astute for his young age, let me tell you. I don't know if you heard this, and I do want to talk pizza here in just a moment, but I found this really fascinating today, this morning as well, as long as we're talking about music and artists. Madonna, well, we all know she's got a reputation for a few different things, but one of them is now for starting her shows late, and it could actually land her in court. Did you see this, by the way?
I did.
Two guys are suing her because her show at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn last month started more than 2 hours late. That's the material girl. She's just being fashionably late. No big deal. Not only did that make it harder for them to find transportation home after the show, but then they had to get up early to, quote, go to work and or take care of their family responsibilities the next day. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. If you're going to a concert, right, you should probably expect that it's going to run late. They're not all out there at the crack of, you know, 7 p.m. or whatever it is.
Some are incredibly punctual.
Yes.
But some are not. Yeah.
Madonna's kind of known for this. She's kind of known for this. And I'm sorry. And I know not everybody has the luxury of being able to take days off. And I'm not blaming these guys for Madonna not being punctual. But these, to me, are things that you should expect when you go to a live concert, especially if it's in the middle of the week, right? Things happen. There's going to be a lot of other people coming out of the Barclays Center who also need a ride home. Cars are not just going to be there at your beck and call. That's all I'm saying. I mean, there's things you have to take into consideration when you go to a live show. However, they're now suing Madonna, Live Nation, and the Barclays Center for, quote, unconscionable, unfair, and or deceptive trade practices. And they want to make it a class action suit so other people can join in if they want. Oh, there's going to probably be more people, which is ridiculous. Yeah. Madonna has actually been sued for this twice before, by the way. A 2019 lawsuit was dismissed. Then in 2020, two people voluntarily dismissed their suit after reaching a settlement, which I'm assuming is probably going to happen. One of those two things in this case as well. But we shall see. Class action suits are a little bit different. But if you're going to a live show, it's going to be late. You're going to get home much later than your normal bedtime, Finn.
Did anyone ever try to sue Axl Rose? Remember when Guns N' Roses was at the height of their popularity? Mm-hmm. He would come on at least, I mean, sometimes it was like 3 hours later.
Right.
I mean, I don't think anybody tried to sue Guns N' Roses. I mean,
I don't know.
You've got to kind of take that as part and parcel of going to see a show.
I mean, I've been to shows. I mean, for instance, when we went to San Francisco in April and we went to see Chromeo, we were supposed to be inside seated by 8 o'clock. We weren't even through the doors until 9 o'clock because they had some sort of weird issue with all of their equipment. First show they'd done since COVID. And so they had some weird issue with all of their equipment and things not working, but they didn't tell us that. We're not privy to that information. So we just had to stand in line until the doors actually opened. Was it annoying? Absolutely. Did it suck? Oh, yes, it did, because it was chilly out there that night as well.
Right.
Were my feet killing me? Yes, my feet hurt. I was sitting on the curb after a while. But at the same time, it's a live show. This is what I expect. And I paid to go to the live show. I don't know why we have a class action suit happening.
Look at it this way, okay? Morrissey, that's all I have to say.
Right.
Sometimes he doesn't even bother to do the
right?
show. Sometimes
he'll
he doesn't
when
even
you're
show
sitting
up.
There.
Yeah.
He'll cancel as you're sitting there.
Yeah. Oh, they're selling burgers out in the area there. Oh well, then I'm not going to play the show.
Right.
I mean, he just it's ridiculous.
Right.
You know. But I don't think anybody's suing him. Maybe we just need to understand that Madonna is going to be fashionably late.
And it's Madonna.
Yeah.
I mean, they call her the material girl for a reason, people. I mean, it's not just a fun little nickname because of the song. She really did live up to that those expectations of that song in a lot of aspects of her life. Randy Betson echoing the same thing you just said about Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses. He's like, God forbid anybody go to one of their shows. Axl was late all the time.
All the time.
So yeah. There you go.
And you have to wonder if that is just the artist saying, I'm not ready yet. I need more time,
yeah.
or doesn't care. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Like, even if the show time is 8 o'clock,
sure.
If the artist is just, or if they're being a total diva, you know,
that kind of is with Axl. If we go back to Axl, it was probably because there were pretty girls around, just knowing a little bit of his reputation and some of the things extracurricularly he liked to do. That's just my guess on Axl Rose at the time. I know it kind of feels like maybe Axl's turned a new leaf in life, you know, because his comeback did not. It didn't go well a couple years ago. He
well,
was not the same
by,
Axl.
Yeah, judging by Sammy Hagar's book, I would say that the Van Halen boys had the same kind of extracurricular stuff.
But
I think they pretty much showed up on time. I don't know.
maybe that was just because there was one person back there who could actually... You didn't tell Axl Rose what to do at the height of his career. Let's put it that way. I mean, Axl Rose was not taking suggestions from publicists, managers, stagehands, anybody. He didn't care because he was Axl Rose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't going to take suggestions. Van Halen seems a little bit more like they would, if somebody said, okay, guys, it's time to get on stage, they'd be like, all right, let's go. Axl Rose would be like, I'm busy here. That's just kind of how I saw as Axl Rose, especially in the 90s. Now, I'm a huge Guns N' Roses fan, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I just don't think you gave suggestions to Axl. I think he did exactly what he wanted to do.
Well, and I also wonder if concert goers back then just rolled
Maybe
with
we're
it.
We're just more patient.
Yeah.
We didn't have this day and age where there was like instant gratification of everything, right? We did have to wait for some things. And I think that's part of what we see now is people need instant gratification because of how fast paced our world is. We have things in our hands, devices that give us answers right away. So it's that instant gratification. So our patience level is a little bit lower. But your class action suit, it's going to be interesting. We'll see what happens
we'll see.
With it. We'll see. It's Madonna. There's a lot of things that can get, you know, pushed away pretty quickly. Barclay Center too. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
This isn't the first go around these people have had with lawsuits and stuff like that. So of course today is Friday, and I said I wanted to talk pizza for just a second because it's a favorite subject of mine. If your family is planning on pizza for dinner tonight, Finn, you're in line with what the average American is doing on a Friday night. Pizza Hut's annual pizza report found Friday is the most popular day of the week to order. Now here are a few statistics from on our pizza eating habits, including the worst possible toppings that we can try. I've got a few that I can put on that list. Anyway, the average person, right, exactly. The average person has pizza 3 times a month and eats a total of 8 slices. The top pizza eating states are North Dakota, New York, Minnesota, and right here in Wisconsin.
You betcha.
I love that. That's right. Well, we do get into our game days. I think that's a lot of it, too, is our sports habits around here. Nobody wants to be bothered with the kitchen. Thin crust is now our favorite type, getting 28% 20% of the vote. Stuffed crust is next with 20%, and then thick crust at 14%. Now, I'm not a thin crust fan, and I like your pan-style pizzas. I like your homemade crust styles. I don't understand the stuffed crust. Don't I already have crust and cheese on my pizza? Do I really need more cheese and more bread?
Maybe you need more.
I don't know. It just seems kind of like an overkill, and I don't need my crust to be oozing stuff. I think that's kind of weird. Like, I don't need to take a bite and have stuff squirt out of it. Like, I don't want that to happen. I just want bread. The most popular thing to do is to dip your pizza in ranch. Is it really the most popular?
It's pretty popular. I don't know.
Well. And now, see, I'm one of those pizza people that thinks ranch dressing is a little overrated anyway. Now, I love ranch, don't get me wrong, but I think it's a little overrated, and I'm not sure we need it on everything. And I don't know why we would want to ruin our pizza with ranch dressing, especially if it's already good pizza, right? Like, I don't get it. I don't get that one at all. That's a mystery for me. Now, dipping our pizza is followed closely by garlic sauce. So right behind the ranch is the garlic, because you need more garlic on top of what you're already eating. And then hot sauce is a distant third. Apparently, marinara was not an option for a pizza in this particular poll. Who knows? New York style is the most popular type of pizza, followed by Chicago style. Not if you're Corey Hartman. Only three states prefer something else. Detroit style in Michigan, duh. St. Louis style in Missouri, duh. What is a St. Louis style pizza anyway? Do you know?
I don't
know what that is.
I kind of consider myself a pizza expert. I don't know what that is.
I mean, does St. Louis really need their own version of a pizza? You're Missouri, for goodness sakes.
Yeah,
like,
come on.
Why do you need your own pizza? This is
Chicago
weird.
Style pizza, I get.
Right? Exactly. But I don't understand why St. Louis thinks they're special and they need their own pizza. And people in California supposedly prefer California style pizza with your non-traditional toppings like your avocado and your arugula. Well, of course, it's California, so that makes perfect sense. The most frequently ordered pizza topping is still pepperoni, by the way. What's something that should never, ever be allowed on a pizza, though? Well, the top answers include fish. Duh, no fish on a pizza. That should just be outlawed. That should be like a national law, honestly. Beets is another one. Who's putting beets on a pizza? Who are you people? Why would you ruin it like that? Although
just
the other day...
beets in general.
The other day, I went to Little Village and had an amazing dinner, as I always have at Little Village in downtown Baraboo, and they had a carrot, beet, and ginger soup. It was vegan.
Okay.
And it was hard because I was like, it's got beets in it. It was amazing. Of course, my husband tasted it, and he's like, I can taste the beets. I'm like, you can barely taste the beets. The ginger kind of like took that out, though. It was delicious, sure. Let me tell you. But I was surprised I liked it because of the beets in it, but it was amazing. Blueberries, another one that should never be on a pizza, only if it's a dessert pizza. I mean, why would you put blueberries on a pizza? First of all, marinara and blueberries, come on. If that's the route you're going, you're insane. That's disgusting. Second of all, if you're putting blueberries on a pizza, that's just weird. I mean, if you're doing a breakfast pizza, dessert pizza, sure, I get it.
I guess,
like, that makes total sense. Not on a regular pizza. I don't know what we're talking about here. Plums and kiwi, another one. Plums and kiwi.
No.
Who are you people? What are you doing? 10% said no topping should be banned. Well, then you're just insane because anchovies are
anchovies,
just disgusting.
Come on.
Those are disgusting. Ugh. The last stat on our pizza eating habits, 1 in 4 think a pizza flavored cocktail sounds like something they would try. Well, I'm up for any adult beverage at least once, right? Like, I'll give anything a try once. I don't know if I need my pizza, my adult beverage to taste like pizza. Now, a adult beverage with my pizza is delicious, but I don't know if I necessarily need to combine them into one thing. That's my thing.
Agreed.
If somebody said to me, you got to try this, I'd be like, all right, I'll take a sip of it. I don't know how you emulate, though, the all the different flavors of a pizza in a drink, right? Like, I don't know how you would do that, but I'm not that good with that kind of stuff, and there are people in this world who are, so I'll leave that to them to figure out. But there you go. If you're ordering pizza tonight, especially here in Wisconsin, then
I know what I'm having.
You are right on board with everybody else. Doesn't that seem like a great way to end a week, with somebody else bringing you your food, making you your food, having it be delicious right out of the gate? And fortunately for us around here, we have lots of good choices for pizza.
We do. Yeah. I mean, call it movie night. We've had a tough week. We've had to deal with the frigid temps and, Yeah, just
yes, absolutely.
Find your place on the couch and have your pizza and
watch movies. We're supposed to have puppy school, and so I'm thinking maybe after puppy school, I have an order of pizza waiting, and I bring that home. I'd be the most popular parent ever. That would be really awesome. It's hard to get that achievement with Dexter.
Yeah,
word, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. But sometimes I top myself, and I can make it happen. So I might have to try that.
Last weekend, Phoenix had a friend come over, and so we ordered pizza for him. And have you ever seen, well, you have, obviously, two teenage boys around pizza? It's not pretty. It's not pretty. You could lose a limb.
Yeah, there's a lot of things flying at that point. Toppings, hands. Yeah, there's a lot flying. No, it's kind of crazy. Now, I have a dabber, though. Max is a dabber. He dabs everything so it takes off the excess grease. Nobody needs that many calories, I'm told. So so it's not quite as vicious as some households, I don't think. Dexter, on the other hand, he will take off your arm if you're touching his pizza, let me tell you. Max is a little bit more subtle about his movements and how he goes about things. So there's that. Probably
they
also
tend to
why
decimate
they're off. Yeah, it's probably why my kids are opposites too. I mean, I've talked about Halloween and candy angels, Dexter laying in it, you know, bathing in it, swimming in all of his candy, Max putting it out in individual piles, Max dabs his pizza, Dexter basically just inhales it from wherever he's at. So yes, it tells you the differences in my boys. Taking a look at the forecast right now, mostly cloudy today, although I am seeing some peaks of sunshine out here on Goose Poop Pond, and not going to complain about that whatsoever. We could see some flurries today on and off as well. It's going to be cold, though, only 7 for a high. Wind chill is going to be in the single digits to teens below 0. Going to be clear tonight, down to 5 below. Mostly sunny, 13 tomorrow. And then next week is finally when we get a reprieve from all of this cold. Temperatures going back into the 30s. It's going to feel like a heat wave, that's for sure. Right now, it is 1 above.
Your experience is our top priority at Backroad Baraboo Motors, where you'll find a top-notch crew that gets the job done right. Thorough advisors that explain it all. A free car wash with every visit. And a waiting room where you won't mind the wait. From routine service to major repairs, our certified team is here for you. Backroad Baraboo Motors, proudly servicing all makes and models. Just off Highway 136 in Baraboo and online at baraboomotors.com.
Kanamichi Craft Bar in Baraboo is the perfect place to meet family and friends for get-togethers and events. They have amazing charcuterie boards, wine from across the globe, craft beer and cocktails, retail wine, and gift cards. Kanamichi is at 126 3rd Street in downtown Baraboo. Be sure to check out their Facebook post for more upcoming live music, comedy, game nights, and events. Kanamichi Craft Bar in downtown Baraboo.
It's 8:30 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. John Cafferty on The Dark Side on Max FM.
We'll be right back.
them hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It's 8:33. And Finn, we were talking a little bit about how you would duplicate the taste of a pizza and a drink based on, you know, tonight's pizza night in most homes. And Paula texted in and she said maybe a glorified Bloody Mary could be adjusted to taste a little bit like a pizza. It's already got that tomato base in it, so that makes sense.
Would you like a little vodka with your pizza?
Right, exactly. Now, I'm thinking, though, cheese is a little harder to duplicate. But again, there's mixologists out there who are way better at this stuff than I am. I bet you they could probably come up with something. But that's
thanks,
a good
Paula.
Idea.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look at us. We're already starting the day talking about how we can make our drinks taste like something later. Forget the pizza. We know where we're going with this. We've got to celebrate with our calendar days here quickly because Chris Hovell, our Packers expert, is waiting to join us this morning so we can talk about the Packers and the 49ers in divisional playoffs tomorrow evening in San Francisco. So let's look at some of this good stuff to celebrate. Today's kind of a boring day, honestly. There's not much on this. It's New Friends Day. Obviously, this is the day to maybe go out and broaden your horizons, bring a few extra people into your circle if you're so inclined. It's also Tin Can Day. Boy, it doesn't get much more exciting than that. Is a tin can. Oh, my goodness. And then we end it with a good food one, which is National Popcorn Day, which I can totally get behind popcorn. Maybe you don't need anything else. Why ruin National Popcorn Day by, bringing other things into the mix? Popcorn just kind of stands alone on that one. Then when we look ahead to the rest of the weekend, there's some good ones on here. Tomorrow, I expect a gift card from somebody because it's National Disc Jockey Day tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Somebody celebrate us. That's tomorrow. Or don't. I mean, we probably won't be celebrating either, to be quite honest about it. It's also camcorder day tomorrow. Remember in the olden days when we used to pull out the camcorder and bother our kids with it? Or that's at least what my parents always did. My dad'd be like, say hi into the camera, you know, and everybody'd wave. And
we talked about it earlier in the week. Blackmail material for
that's
the kids.
That's
Taylor,
right.
Colin. Yep.
It's a good thing.
Be careful what you say.
My mom will never figure out how to get those tapes to do anything, so it's fine. It's fine. I love her, though. I love her. Technology, not her strong suit. Let's see. What else? It is also National Use Your Gift Card Day tomorrow. Speaking of gift cards, if you got any for the holidays, this is apparently a big day where a lot of stores see the redemption of gift cards. Well, that's because it's after the first of the year. You're finally kind of starting to figure out things that you might not have gotten or that maybe you still want going into a new year, so you go redeem those gift cards. It is also Penguin Awareness Day tomorrow. I love penguins.
Love
I think
it.
They're adorable. That's how I walk out here on the ice now. Corey calls it my penguin shuffle because I just kind of scoop my feet and then hopefully I don't fall when I'm doing it. So there's that.
I can't put my arms down.
Aspie does not enjoy the penguin shuffle because it means we are not walking at her speed. And then I get the side eye and the snaggle teeth and all of that kind of stuff. It is also Take a Walk Outdoors Day tomorrow. Well, it's still going to be a little chilly tomorrow. Some sunshine, though. Maybe postpone that until next week when it's in its 30s. Trust me, you and I both know, as people who go out with their dogs frequently in this kind of weather, I would wait if you don't have to be out there for any reason to take a walk. Now, we do have a few food and drink ones that we can celebrate tomorrow as well. National Coffee Break Day is tomorrow. So I say pull out the coffee, whatever makes you happy. Whatever you like to eat on a coffee break, you pull that out. National Butter Crunch Day is also tomorrow. So that's an oddly specific one. And then here in Wisconsin, we would definitely know something about this one and how to celebrate it. It's National Cheese Lovers Day tomorrow as well.
There you go.
That's right. So speaking of those pizzas, speaking of Wisconsin, just a good old cheese pizza to celebrate. I think that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. As we look ahead to Sunday, there's a few good ones on here. National Hugging Day is Sunday. Just make sure the person you want to hug knows that you're going to hug them and is okay with that. We don't need anything negative to happen. It is also, let's see, Squirrel Appreciation Day.
Theo does. He appreciates those squirrels.
He appreciates a good squirrel as well. I, however, would appreciate them more if they stayed out of my attic. That's how I would appreciate a good squirrel. But just, Just putting that disclaimer out there. It's also World Snow Day tomorrow, or on Sunday as well. Well, we got that one covered here in Wisconsin. Yeah. We're doing great with that one. And we don't need any more Mother Nature to help us celebrate. We are good to go. You know, speaking of squirrels and snow, somebody in our neighborhood threw out a lot of bread into the snow and carrots. And I don't know, I think there's some bagels and some English muffins out there. No critters are eating them. Nothing is touching them. The only thing that really is interested them in them is my dog, which means they're going to be moldy pretty soon, and then she's going to be sniffing after them.
And then she'll be yakking.
I get people want to help the critters, but aren't they adaptive to climates like this? Are they not able to take care of themselves in climates like this? Do we really need to be out there encouraging them to be near our homes and giving them food?
You don't need any more squirrels, right?
I think I'm good. I'm good on this one. I'm just saying, I appreciate the sentiment. I love taking care of creatures and critters. I don't know if we need to be encouraging them the way that this particular neighbor is. And I don't have any idea which one it is, but I'm just saying. And then we also have a couple of food ones on the list for Sunday. It's National New England Clam Chowder Day. Nope, because that has fish in it. I'm good on that. And then it's also National Granola Bar Day. Well, that'll always save you. I mean, you could probably live forever if you just had a pocket full of granola bars and you got lost in the woods. I'm pretty sure that would take care of everything, right? Speaking of critters out here on Goose Poop Pond, this morning I got a very eerie, weird feeling walking Aspen. There were tracks. They were dog tracks of some sort, but they were in the middle of the road in the freshly fallen snow. There were no people tracks around them, which tells me this is a wild dog of some sort. And all of the tracks would lead right up to garages and things like that, because trust me, I was scoping it out because I have to know my surroundings and what I'm up against when I'm walking her in the dark. And I just had a very uneasy feeling knowing that there was some critter with very large paws that looked like a dog that was just roaming around last night.
Coyote?
At some point in time. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to know. This is why Corey hasn't put a trail cam up yet, because it scares me to know what's actually out here. I like to live in basically oblivion. That's what I like to live in. I am okay with not knowing the hard, true facts of some of the things in my life and what critters are roaming around here when I'm okay with that.
Did we have any more bobcat sightings at Mary Roundtree yesterday?
I haven't seen on social media, so if there have, nobody's posted about it. But something, we mentioned that. They were walking around on the ice down by the river the other day when people were on the river walk. So just be on the lookout for all of those critters. It's a lot of snow. It's cold. They got to get their exercise in too, and they've probably been a little displaced because of the snow. Not enough for you to feed them bread by the bucketfuls in the ground, but they've probably been displaced a little bit. So there is that, I guess. So however you're celebrating this weekend, make it a fantastic celebration. And of course, we are going to take a detailed look at your forecast here in just a moment. It's going to be cold again today, maybe some flurries on and off. And then of course, next week is really when the warm-up comes. We're talking 30s for highs. It's going to be so much better than this past week. Sean Cable's going to tell us about that weather in just a moment. Mike Ganger's going to join us for a look at sports. And make sure you join us. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, going to be here in just a few minutes as we talk about the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night football. I was going to say Sunday, but I'm a day off because, well, division and playoff schedules and all of that kind of stuff. Hanging with Hovel coming up in just moments on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
High fashion doesn't have to mean a high price tag. Amber Lux Consignment Boutique in downtown Baraboo has name brand women, men, infant, and children clothing items, shoes, designer handbags, gift items, and much more. Women owned and operated, Amber Lux Consignment Boutique is located at 121 5th Street in Baraboo. New items are added daily. Stop in Tuesday through Saturday to find your new fashion focus for less at Amber Lux Consignment Boutique of Baraboo.
U.S. Cellular now has unlimited home internet for only $30 a month when you add a mobile line. And it's easy to set up, too, which means you can keep working remotely. Dad, who loves working from home?
Did I mention my fuzzy slippers are very professional looking?
U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Wow. High-speed, reliable, unlimited internet for your home or business for as low as $30 per month. Plus, get a free router valued up to $500. Hurry to your local U.S. Cellular in Baraboo, the Dells, and Reedsburg to start saving today.
We
With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger. Last night, the Baraboo Thunderbird girls basketball team was at Portage and came away with a 60-32 victory. Also last night in girls hoops, it was Mount Horeb falling at home to Stoughton, 52-47. Girls hockey this past evening, the Badger Lightning girls squad loses to Rock County, 5-2 the final there. And in boys hockey, it was Baraboo Portage tying Stoughton after double overtime. 1-1 was the final in that game. Tonight for the Thunderbirds, the wrestling squad is going to be hosting Stoughton for a dual meet. 7 o'clock, it will get started. For Reedsburg tonight, girls basketball will be welcoming the Sauk Prairie Eagles at 7:15. It'll also be the Badger Challenge for boys hoops starting to Oregon High School, the host for it. Reedsburg will compete at 7:20. Portage's game will be before that at 5:45, and then on Saturday it's Baraboo playing at 2:20, and then Sauk Prairie will be after that at 4 o'clock. Also for the Sauk Prairie Eagles tonight, it's going to be the boys hockey team hosting McFarland at the Spark Ice Arena. Wrestling is going to be at Portage for a duel, and the girls basketball team, as mentioned, will be taking on Reedsburg tonight on the road. And in girls hoops tonight for Portage, it's going to be Lodi hosting the Warriors at 7:30. And we officially have the game designations ahead of the divisional round matchup for the Packers and the 49ers. Jair Alexander is listed as questionable after not participating the final 2 days of practice. AJ Dillon did come back in limited fashion yesterday, is listed questionable for the game, as is Isaiah McDuffie. First time in a while, all of the wide receivers for the Packers will be entering the game without any sort of questionable designation. And quarterback Jordan Love was asked how crucial this young receiving corps has been to the run of its offense these last few weeks leading up to the playoffs and last week.
Yeah, I think that's just the mindset of that room. I've said it before, I think it's a very unselfish room. And I think it's just the character of everybody in the room. It's a great group, and they've come together a lot throughout the season, just the bond. Our receiver coach, Vrabe, says it a lot, go out there and play for your brother. The routes they run, a lot of them, sometimes they might know they're not getting the ball, but, they're clearing guys out, opening voids up for their brother. So, and they do that in the run game as well, going out there and block for your brother. So I think it's a very unselfish room, and it's helping guys be able to perform at high levels. And, sometimes, it might be one guy getting the ball, getting a lot of receptions, getting a lot of yards, and it might be another guy next week. So, I think it's just that whole mindset in that room is awesome right now.
For a young team playing so well, momentum is a big word that's been used, and the young quarterback was asked what he feels like its role is for the team.
It's huge. I think coming to the postseason, that's been huge for us. Kind of got rolling with those three wins back-to-back-to-back. So, it's huge for us right now, just having that momentum and continue to keep it rolling.
NFL divisional round gets started tomorrow at 3:30. The Texans at the Ravens. Packers will be at the 49ers, 7:15 tomorrow night. And on Sunday, it's the Bucks at the Lions at 2, and at 5:30, Buffalo will be hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Before the Packers game tomorrow at 2 o'clock, the Bucks will be back on the hardwood. Milwaukee will be at Detroit for that one. With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Ganger.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Mostly cloudy today. We may see a few off and on flurries at times through the day, and it's going to be cold too, with a high of only 7 above. The wind chill, single digits to teens below 0 here for most of the day. Tonight, clear, 5 below. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 13. We are going to warm it up. We're talking highs in the 30s for most of next week. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is 0.
99.7.
8:46 right now. It just keeps getting colder as the morning goes on, and it is time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Our Packers expert, Chris Hovel, joins us for a fifth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who's covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 23rd season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance. Chris, good morning. How are you today?
Maddie, I am doing excellent. I mean, we are just so many hours only away from kickoff. And I got to say, Mike, yeah, really chose an excellent slice of audio there. One of my favorites from the entire week.
Yes.
Jordan Love talking about the receivers and unselfishness. Those two things do not go together generally in the NFL. No. The number one prima donna position of all time.
Right.
The number one codependent position, which makes the greatest athletes, you could argue, in the NFL feel less than, because it's all dependent on the blocking, the coach, the quarterback to get them the ball. I mean, so many things have to happen before they can show everybody how great they are, and I think they get frustrated. In Green Bay, that's not the case. It's a beautiful situation right now.
Yeah, it really is. And they actually have five wide receivers who have produced 90-plus receiving yards in games this year. And they're only one of two teams that actually have accomplished that this year. Any idea who the second team is? This is a fun little stat for the analytics wonks out there.
I'm going to say Houston Texans.
Chargers, actually. Chargers, the only other team in the league this year who have the same, can say the same thing about the receiving core. You know, this is a great place to start because Jaden Reed yesterday had another great comment at his locker. He was talking about how he doesn't care what he has to do because they asked him about the fact that in the Cowboys game, he didn't have any touches on the ball. He doesn't care. He just wants to win. He's like, if I can go out there and block from somebody, but that means we get the win, that's cool. If they're going to throw me the ball, cool. I'll take it, kind of thing, you know? And Bo Melton, this week. I love how they're referring to it in the receivers room. He said they refer to it as the G way, meaning they'll catch, they'll block, they'll do whatever they have to as long as it means they are still able to move the ball. So I appreciated the G way. And then you got some glimpses of Aaron Jones using that in Dallas to get the team all hyped up before they went out onto the field, calling it the G way. And that's how we're going to do this thing as the G way. So there you go. As you're watching the game tomorrow and you see him catching the ball, hopefully anyway, you can refer to it as the G way.
It's been an interesting week of those guys. I mean, was it Jaden Reed that came in with the tiny helmet on?
Yes. Aaron Jones' little boy brought that. What Packers fan doesn't remember the Franklin helmet? I think we had like three of them floating around our house at one time. But, you know, Aaron Jones' little boy brought that into practice. Jaden Reed decided he was going to wear it. I mean, he's just getting ready early, Chris. That's fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Get ready for the game early. So when the Packers travel to San Francisco for this game tomorrow, I mean, you're talking about a red-hot offense meeting the 49ers' stout defense. Max said it's like a hot team versus a juggernaut. That's how he put it this week. And he's right. And you pick a category, and there's probably a good chance the 49ers are going to rank the top in all of them. It's why Matt LaFleur this week said that they know they're going against one of the elite teams in the NFL, and why he's also been getting this team ready for the physicality that the 49ers play with, because this is a brutal physical team. They are not afraid to hit you from either the offensive side or the defensive side of the ball. And what I think is the most fascinating about this matchup, honestly, is since week 9, we are going to witness the two best quarterbacks on third down, basically in every metric, on the field in Santa Clara all at the same time. Brock Purdy is number 1. Jordan Love is only 2. Only Dak Prescott was ahead of them in success rate, and we know he's on vacation somewhere at this point. Thank you very much, Packers. I'm kind of excited about this matchup because this is a little bit like exercising the demons for the Green Bay Packers, is it not? This has been a tough team under the Aaron Rodgers watch of this team. You got Jordan Love on the team, and you only have a handful of players that really remember what this rivalry is like, if you can call it a rivalry, because it's a little bit like the Packers with the Bears. The 49ers have owned this one in basically every way, shape, and form, especially in playoff games. And so I'm a little excited to see if a short memory, new blood, whatever you want to call it, really makes a change to what this rivalry, air quotes, has been over the last few years.
Well, Maddie, that was a crushing loss at Green Bay in the divisional round a couple of years ago. And I got to ask you a question. Do you know, I'm thinking you might, do you know how many players are left on the roster from that team a couple of years ago?
Oh, gosh, it's only got to be a handful. I'm going to say like 3 to 6 really is all, isn't it? I mean,
Aaron Jones and Yash Nyman.
All right. So two. I mean, I was a little
on offense anyway. Kenny Clark and some of these guys have been around, but on offense, just two guys that have ever participated in any of this. So they're happy to get after it. And I got to say, the Niners have won 6 straight divisional playoff games.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but kind of the Niners' seeming cloak of invincibility, in some ways, I think it serves the Packers okay, because it seems to me they're even more introspective about what they need to do. As opposed to, geez Louise, the Niners are just so damn good. Where sometimes you get a little ahead of yourself and you think, boy, we really got a chance to beat this team. It was the Buccaneers, let's say. You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And we visited with Kyle Madsen, the Niners podcast host and whatnot in the Bay Area. He said they're glad they didn't get the Buccaneers-Niners. Yeah. They want to see the Packers right now, and let's get this thing on. I kind of feel the same way. There'd have been nothing to be gained by the Packers beating the Buccaneers or the Lions or whatever to get here another week away removed from the Niners. Let's do it now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, when you really look at this Packers team, they are red hot right now. And they're a team with absolutely nothing to lose. Matt LaFleur has been using the term playing with house money with the team all week because he knows that nobody betted on them being in this position. I mean, they're 9.5-point underdogs going into this team. They were 7-point underdogs last week. But here's the problem defending Jordan Love right this very minute. We talked about that receiving core, right? No matter how you play him, he's going to beat you. He torched the number one blitz team in the NFL in a must-win game on the road. Then he tore down the number one pressure rate team in a playoff game. And if you try to play coverage against him, he's fourth in PFF grades from a clean pocket, and that's been since week 9. Aaron Jones has 4 straight 100-yard games right now. The offense is playing defense-proof football, and they can really score on anyone. And whether or not that happens, they have proven they can do it, right? I mean, that's the key. They have proven they can do it. And, you know, Max and I were having this conversation the other day because we'll get into our picks a little later on, but he's like, it's interesting because he said this Niners defense is so good. He's like, you really got to watch guys like Warner and Bosa and all of that. But he said, how do you cover these receivers? Because if you double team Watson, you're going to leave Reed open. Plus, then you have the tight ends open. You have Wicks. You have Heath, if he's available. You have Dobbs, who had a huge game against Dallas. He's like, so you can't just double team whoever you want, as he's like, Shanahan's going to want to, because he's going to want to shut down somebody. He's like, the beauty of what they've built so far is, as we've talked the last few weeks, the fact that they can spread the ball around to basically anybody, and you don't have to have just the one guy. We know the Packers are going to have to concentrate on McCaffrey, and they're going to have to concentrate on Debo Samuel. Those are big playmakers for the 49ers. For Green Bay, it could basically be anybody on that field. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting problem to have if you're a young team trying to make it through another game.
Well, and what makes that even more difficult, really, in reality for the Niners, I think, is it's not so much, well, which guy do we focus on to try to shut down?
Right.
It's the fact that everybody's running their routes really, really hard.
Yeah.
And they're really working to get each other open. So how do you solve that nut? Well, you hit the quarterback first, probably is the easiest way. I'm worried a little bit about Fred Warner dropping it, more even than Greenlaw, but dropping back in coverage and reading Love's eyes and getting a hand on some passes where the Cowboys linebackers were just not quite up to the task.
Right.
You notice,
agreed.
I mean, fingernails here, there, close, but not quite. Warner's a special cat. I mean, unanimous All-Pro for a reason. So that bothers me, but Clelin Ferrell being out, I think, helps the edge rusher. Yes. They didn't want to play starters in the final game of the season. They had to because they were so beat up then. They're much healthier now, unfortunately, I guess, for the Packers. But they lost Ferrell in that game to a season-ending knee injury. Now, they were fortunate. I don't know how they do this, but I got to say John Lynch and company, pretty sharp. Week 6, they went and got Chase Young.
Right.
And you'd have thought Niners really adding more.
Yeah.
Well, now they. But here's the problem for them. If something should happen to Bosa or Chase Young, now is where you start getting really deep into the thing at end. And their interior defensive line is dang near as good as the edge rusher.
Yes.
So with Armstead and company. But it doesn't mean it's invincible. I do think the D-line is a strength of theirs. And if they can get pressure with just 4, oh boy.
Well, and you know, and I think we've watched the Packers O-line perform so well the last few weeks. And truly, if you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best. It's a cliche, but it truly means something, especially at this stage of the year in football. And Zach Tom he's played mind-blowingly well.
Two sacks all season he's given up. Two sacks.
Crazy. And Rashid Walker, for a guy who basically was zombie walking through a lot of the season, he has really turned things around. I think if you're Matt LaFleur, you're watching the tape, and he knows Shanahan well. They both coached in similar fashion. I think you're probably going to see a little extra help on that line, especially maybe for Rashid Walker. Maybe you let Tom hold his own one-on-one, but you definitely have some blockers out there. And let me just say this. Give it up to Aaron Jones. If you watch some of the tape back from that Dallas game, who would have ever thought Aaron Jones going one-on-one in a blocking capacity on Micah Parsons would be such a glorious moment in time? I mean, this is a team who really does believe in one another, and they're willing to put it all on the line as long as the play happens, right? And you saw that with Aaron Jones going one-on-one, and I bring that up only because of that. I mean, he literally laid it out on Micah Parsons in that game so that Jordan Love had an extra 0.2 seconds to throw the ball exactly where he wanted to. And he was disruptive doing it, right?
You know, and Aaron Jones knows that, too. He knows the goal isn't to knock Micah Parsons on his butt try to embarrass him. The goal is to not whiff, first of all. Right. And second of all, just to get him long enough. Well, you're talking that tenth of a second is all Jordan needs. And he's willing. I mean, he is up for the challenge. He takes great pride in that, which a lot of running backs, or some anyway, I won't say a lot, but some don't. And I think that's another added advantage. Bosa generally lines up on the offense's right side. I got to think they're going to be aware of mindful when he does go to the other side, because they do move him around a little bit and they'll pick their spots with it. And either you have to check into a play that'll give Walker some help, or you've got a play that already is going to go from that away from that side of the field, whatever the case. But you got to be aware of him, although it's not like he's just been God's gift to pass rushers all season either.
He hasn't. And he hasn't. Here's the thing, though. They have so many amazing defensive players on that side. He hasn't really needed to be. I mean, early on when he was drafted by the 49ers, he was one of their main pieces. And then they've continued to add through draft and through free agency and all of that. So I don't know if he needs to be anymore. He just needs to be disruptive. We talk about Sean Gary sack numbers. It's the same kind of thing I feel like with Bosa. Does he really need to be getting to the quarterback as long as he's creating pressure and they feel him coming to their in their face? I don't know if he needs to be as disruptive as we've seen in the past, just because of all the other talent they have on that side of the ball, and because one step of Bosa coming close to you, would you not be a little itchy and want to get rid of the ball? I kind of would be.
The sack numbers are great and all, but if you have the pressures to go with it, and that's what you're saying, where you're getting in the guy's face, disrupting him, you may not get him to the ground and get credited with the sack that everybody loves, but as long as you get the incompletion or the fourth down coming up, you're good to go.
And I feel like this could be another big game for Aaron Jones. We've actually seen him run really, really well against this defensive front of the 49ers in the past. And there's a potential that maybe A.J. Dillon will be able to be back to pick up a couple of those short yardage situations with his legs that maybe are a little tougher for Aaron Jones, just with the smaller size and the fact he's a little shiftier. So it's going to be interesting. And actually, the 49ers have a worse run defense, believe it or not, than the Packers. Packers are ranked 22nd. San Francisco is 26th. And I asked Max about this the other day, and we actually dove into these numbers because I thought maybe the poor 49ers run defense numbers were a game script thing. Like, they blow out teams so much that in the fourth quarter they're playing a little softer. That's not the case at all. If you look at their win percentages, maybe between the 20 and 80%, their run defense is actually worse. They go from 26th all the way down to 27th and almost 28th, honestly. It's almost a tie. They're just not a great team against the run. But again, do you need to be? I mean, if you're bringing pressure against the quarterback and things like that, I think it's kind of a pick your poison thing, and that feels like what this defense has chose to do this year.